So in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus paints a vision of what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, God's desire. There's two sayings in the passage we read which point us to what we want to look at for today. So Jesus says this, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel. Instead, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds." And then later, almost in that same sermon, he says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Since when you give to the needy, do not announce it. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." So at one point, Jesus says, let everybody see the good stuff you're doing. And then he turns around a few minutes later and says, all this good stuff you're doing, don't let anybody see it. Do it in secret. So was Jesus confused? I don't think so. I think Jesus was getting at something deeper. Because we pay attention as we pay attention to what he says and the words behind it, the full context of that, we see something. And what he's pointing at is what we're going to talk about today. And that's the topic of vainglory. Vainglory is probably not a word you use very often or have ever used. Not a word I use very often in my conversations. So we're going to look at what this is and what it means. But vainglory is often recognized as one of the seven deadly sins or one of the seven capital vices. And so that's a series we're starting on. And so I prefer the term capital vices. Rebecca DeYoung, in her book called Glittering Vices, argues for this, and I think she does it well. Because sin we tend to think of as like a single act or maybe a habit. And vice really reflects that idea that we're talking about a corruptive or disruptive pattern, a way of living. And so the seven capital vices, and this was something developed by monks and earlier followers of Jesus, and they thought about, what are these things that draw us away from God? What are the patterns of living that misshape our lives? And so they developed actually originally eight capital vices. And among those was pride, and in some lists you'll see that as one of the seven, and vainglory is kind of kicked out. And in others, pride is seen as the root sin, and I like to think of it that way. So even if you see the illustration on the front of the bulletin, you see pride kind of behind it, because in some sense, pride is the one that underlies all of these. But today we want to talk about this vainglory. First of all, you say, what exactly is vainglory? And so vainglory is an excessive and disordered desire for the recognition and approval of others. It's what James Bryan Smith calls a false narrative, that my value is determined by your assessment of me. It's that desire to be noticed, to want to do things, to call attention to your good deeds and want to receive the applause, want to receive the things. And as I was thinking about graduation today, I was thinking about that false narrative in life that we live out that says our value is determined by what we do. Think about that. How much of life it says, when you do well, what, your value goes up. And when you're not doing so well, your value goes down. And I haven't been out in the parking lot, so I hope I don't offend any parents. But I want you to think about bumper stickers that we see sometimes. Now, how many bumper stickers say something like, proud parent of an honor roll student, varsity athlete? Now, how many of you see that says like, loving proud parent of a high school dropout? Loving proud parent of a kid who doesn't do so well? Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with applauding our kids for doing well. But on the other hand, isn't there an underlying message that goes on that's on our culture that says we have value because of being good? In other words, no parent would put a sticker on saying, well, I love my kid who's, you know, a total mess up. But instead, it seems like, oh, well, the only kids who get bumper stickers are the ones who do really well. And so this is what is behind this false narrative, this idea that there's a thing, and it's shaped partly by vainglory, this excessive desire for the good, because we know we're not going to get any applause if we paste that on our car. No one's going to stand up and say, wow, I saw, you know, your kid's a high school honor student. That's so great. You must be such a great parent. And so in some sense, we're seeking something. And so vainglory lies behind this. So what's the difference between vainglory and pride? I think it summed up in a few words, it's like this. Pride says, I think I'm someone great. Vainglory says, I want you to think I'm someone great. So pride is about doing well. You take pride in where you want to be the best. Vainglory isn't necessarily concerned with being the best or doing something. Vainglory is simply concerned with recognition and honor. So a proud person wants to write the best novel. The vainglorious person simply wants to be on the bestsellers list. They don't care if it's a terrible piece of literature. The proud person wants to excel and be the best in whatever area they choose to do. The vainglorious person simply wants to receive applause. And so we're going to look at how that distorts the way we do things. And so that's the simple difference. And this is what Jesus is getting at here. And when he's talking about, on the one hand, he's saying, let your deeds be seen, and on the other hand, hide them. And it's a hard thing, isn't it? Because on the one hand, we go to graduation, and our kids do great and stuff, and we all cheer and applaud. I mean, am I suggesting there's something wrong with cheering and clapping when your kids do well? No. I'm not even suggesting it's bad to feel good when somebody applauds you for doing something right. I mean, I think when you sat in graduation for the, and I think all of you have had your graduation ceremonies already, and you've gone up and you've received your diploma, and maybe you've received awards, and you've been part of sports teams or other organizations, you've received awards and been recognized, people clap. I think it's perfectly okay to say, wow, that felt good. Because there's something good about doing good things and being recognized for them. But what a vice does, and what the writers of Christian spirituality talk about, is a vice, the challenge with it is, it's a disordered and excessive desire for things. And so as we talk about some of these things, like we'll talk about gluttony in a while with food, it's like, there's nothing wrong with wanting food. But it's a disordered and excessive desire for those things. And so in the same way, vainglory is this disordered and excessive desire. It's a sham substitute for the same good thing. Because deep down within us, what we're created to be known and to be loved. And I think that's God, how God made us. God knows that, God, we want to be known, we want to be loved. But vainglory is this excessive desire, and it twists that. It takes that good, and it twists and it distorts it. And so when we talk about something going wrong, there's one of two ways we can go wrong. We can desire the wrong thing, or we can desire in a wrong manner, either excessively or deficiently. So how does vainglory go wrong? And so we'll use this passage as a helpful guide. One is to be desired for the wrong thing. You know, I mean, we might have something that is good or not a bad thing, but we seek attention for it in an inappropriate way. There are those of us who like to keep a clean kitchen. There are those of us who like to keep a lawn a certain way. There's nothing wrong with those things. But what happens if we have this excessive desire, this disorder, to constantly be recognized for our baking, for the letters behind our name, for the car we drive or the car we don't drive? And that's what vainglory does. It takes wrong things or things that don't have a lot of value, and we seek out honor and recognition for them. We want to be celebrated. And it can even go down a wrong way. St. Augustine, an early leader in the church, got to the point where he was so intent on being recognized and honored that he was even willing to tell his friends things he had done wrong that he had never done. He wanted to be a part of the crowd. He wanted to be recognized. He went and he stole some pears from his neighbor. And he wanted to tell his friends about it because he wanted to be recognized and honored. He wanted to fit into the crowd. And that's a form of vainglory because what? It's a desire for honor. It's a desire for recognition. But he was even willing to take bad things and do that. And sometimes it's just something that's superficial. It's like we want to be recognized for what our hair looks like or what our hair doesn't look like. All these types of things are distortions of true glory. So there's desire to be admired for the wrong things. And then there's desire to be admired and taking the wrong way to get there. We want it so badly, we will do whatever it takes. We mislead, we blame, we plagiarize. We fake having goodness. We put on a show. We make sure others only see our best. And so the wrong path may be focusing on displaying excellence. So do you see me? Do you like me? Do you know how successful and beautiful I am? And so vainglory can lead to this thing where we're constantly looking and trying to call attention to ourselves. Because it's one thing to simply do something good and somebody to notice it. But what vainglory does is you do something good and then nobody notices. And so then maybe you stop and you do it again. Or you do it a little bit louder. Or you kind of make sure that everyone's looking, so you're getting ready to pick up that piece of trash on the ground in the middle of the park, and you're looking around saying, well, oh, look, a couple people are watching. I'm going to be the good guy, and I'm going to pick this up. You're going to make sure you're watching. And so it's seeking these things and desiring this will to be noticed. But it can also have a flip side. The wrong path may be concealing things. So the desire for applause is the fear of rejection. And so we put on a mask. We cover up everything good. And sometimes people argue that social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these have caused all these things. I don't think they cause any of these issues. They simply magnify those issues. They're simply a different way of doing these things. People were very good at bragging and calling attention to themselves long before the internet existed. It's simply another way, but we see it sometimes on how we carefully shape things. Vainglory takes its shape, it forms and shapes us in that, how careful are we to manage our image? And that's really what at the heart of vainglory is. Image is everything. You think about, if you want to think vainglory in a couple words, that image is everything. So you're constantly curating your image. All those successes you have, you make sure everybody knows about those, and you want to get the applause for those. All the failures, we want to hide those as carefully as we can. Make sure nobody sees the bad part of us. And that's, at its root, it's vainglory. And the problem there is, deep down, our core desire is to be known and loved as we are. And so that's how that vice of vainglory affects us, is it begins to think, I can't be loved as I am, so I'm going to hide that image. And so it's this vicious cycle, because I want to be known and loved for who I am and what I am. But I have this feeling that people aren't going to truly love me and know me as I am. And so vainglory takes root, and it causes me to project a false image. It causes me to cover up my true image. And so in that case, I can't be truly known and loved as I am because I've hidden it. I've put it away. And so that's where vainglory begins to distort and to hide these things. But you read what Jesus says here, and when he talks about it, he talks about when you pray, when you give to the needy, when you fast. And so another side of vainglory is that we can have vainglory result from a genuine virtue. I mean, we can actually be doing something good. And vainglory then haunts us when what we do good goes unnoticed, which is what I just talked about. So vainglory can lead us to exploit these virtues and spiritual gifts even. As we talk about the prayer warrior, the faithful attender, the pastor that we are. To say, I would never do such a thing, or I'm a good parent, my kids would never do such a good thing. And so vainglory can actually grow out of the spiritual life, which is this strange contradiction. That as we become more mature in the spiritual life, vainglory becomes more and more dangerous. Just think about that for a second. As we grow in the spiritual life, vainglory can become more and more dangerous. Why? Because as we progress, we have more virtue, which means there's more likely we want to show it off. And so what Jesus is getting at this, he's saying, we do these things and there's nothing wrong with the virtue. Jesus doesn't say, stop giving to the needy. Jesus doesn't say, stop praying. Jesus doesn't say, stop fasting. He's saying, be careful why you're doing it and what you're doing it for. Are you doing it to be seen? Because our virtues, things like prayer, things like generosity, can be misshapen by vainglory so that we're constantly seeking the applause, that we're looking to be looked down on. And so one writer described it as an onion. And he said it this way. He said, vainglory is like this onion because you can tear off the vainglory and say, look, I got it off. And you realize just underneath it, now you're proud of yourself and you're showing off the fact that you got rid of that one level of vainglory. And it's just this vicious cycle of things. And so vainglory, this desire for notice, but at its core, the worst part of vainglory is its failure to recognize God as the source of good. That's the core problem with vainglory, is its failure to recognize God as the source of good. And so when Jesus says, he says, let your light shine before others, we have to finish the verse because it says that they may see your good deeds. And if we just end there, it's like, don't let your light shine and glorify you, glorify your Father in heaven. So we do the good deeds. He said, so receiving praise from others and glory while ignoring the source is the problem. And so the temptation, and what Jesus is pointing at us in the later part, is we may be tempted to do the things so that we receive the glory. And that's where vainglory comes in. We may be tempted to do the things so that we get noticed. But what Jesus is saying is, no, when you do the things, you're doing it so that people know who God is. Not how great you are, but as we sang at the beginning, how great is our God. And so as we talk about these things, as we're doing these things, there's this temptation to take what is good and turn it into something bad. And that's what this vainglory does. It's an excessive thing. And so we have to think about, is our reputation the motivation for action? Or is that's where vainglory becomes the danger, is when our reputation becomes it. So Jesus is saying, do it so that your good deeds glorify your Father in heaven. He says, if you do it for applause, and this is great, the genius of Jesus' teaching. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Well, what's their reward? They got the praise of people. Yeah, great. But that's all. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying there's something more that we can get. And there's something more we should desire, and that's this knowledge of God and the sharing of God and appointing people to God. And so, yeah, we can go out and we can do acts of love and mercy. We can go out and we can care for the poor. We can visit the widow. We can share the good news of Jesus. But if we do it simply to be noticed, if we're doing our good deeds, if we're being virtuous simply to be noticed, we'll be rewarded because people will pat us on the back. They might even give us an award, something to hang on our wall. We might get invited up in front of the church and be recognized, and people will clap for us. But if we've done it solely for that, that's the end of it. But Jesus is saying, no, do it so that people know who God is. And so as we think about vainglory, and I said that seven deadly vices or capital vices are this root thing, and we think about hypocrisy, and Jesus goes on about hypocrisy, it's something that springs from it. What's hypocrisy? Simply putting on a show. Pretending to be something you're not. Vainglory can lead to a novelty for the new things. But the worst result of... What's the result? You think, well, yeah, how bad is it? How bad is it if I have vainglory? So I get a little excessive. And so I'm a little too focused on myself. There's two results of vainglory. Number one, you break fellowship with other people. When you're vainglory, when you're beset by vainglory, what happens is it destroys your relationship with other people. Why? Because in vainglory, if I'm a vainglorious person, if I'm constantly seeking other people's applause, what other people have they become for me? Simply a tool. They're simply my audience. They're simply a tool to my applause. I see them simply as a way to give me positive feedback. The other thing, the other way in which vainglory destroys that relationship with other people is to seek vainglory. What's one of the things I often do? I often hide my true self and exaggerate my good and downplay my faults. In other words, I lie to the other person. And lying disrupts fellowship with other people. And so vainglory isn't simply this thing like, well, that's a bad thing, but it truly destroys human relationships. The other thing is it destroys our relationship with God. Why? Because we're failing to recognize these good gifts as coming from God. Because vainglory leads down this road of thinking, look at how good I am. Look at all that I've done. And all the applause is coming to me. And it's like a feedback loop. Have you ever been in church where that microphone starts squealing really high? It's called a feedback loop. What happens is the sound goes in here, goes up to the microphone, comes back to the microphone, out the speaker, into the microphone, and just keeps going around and round and round, and it just grows louder and louder and louder. That's the same thing that happens with vainglory, is it becomes this feedback loop. I seek applause, I get the applause, and then what happens? I want more applause. And so I do more to seek the applause, and that first time, they're like, the applause the first time was good, but I need more applause next time. And so we seek more and more. And ultimately, then we begin to really believe the narrative that we've told ourselves, that I deserve the applause. And we forget that all the applause we receive, all the good gifts we have, all the talents we have, whatever shape, whatever form those take, are gifts from God. And so it becomes a distortion of that. And when we forget that God is the one who gives the gifts, we end up forgetting about God. And so vainglory leads down this road of destroying our relationship. and it perpetuates the false narrative, because the goal is to receive our deep affirmation from God and stop trying to get it from others. That's what Jesus was getting at. He says, you've received a reward in full when you get the applause of others. He said, what we truly need is not the applause of others. What we need is the deep affirmation that God loves us. And go back to our beginning. Our false narrative was that our value is determined by our assessment, your assessment of me. But the kingdom narrative, the God's narrative, is that we are loved by God no matter what. We are loved as we are and valuable no matter what people tell us. And so that's the narrative, that's the story we need to remind ourselves of. Vainglory takes us down the wrong road. But the true narrative is that we have value as we are, that God loves us no matter what. Whether we get the applause or whether we don't get the applause. Whether we have that bumper sticker on our car or whether we don't. Whether our kids are doing well. And see, vainglory can even affect us, not about the things we do, but about things other people are doing. And so think about your life. And one of the ways we can evaluate it is say, when I do things, do I do them to get noticed? How concerned am I that other people are giving acknowledgement to the gifts that I have? Do I do something well and then feel disappointed when nobody acknowledges it? Do I do something and hope that people do? Do I post something on Facebook or on Instagram and constantly check it to see how many likes it has? As a way to say, well, look, I did this good thing. Maybe even I post something about my kids. Do I sit and watch my kids' games? And do I let them enjoy the game? Or am I more concerned with them performing well on the field or on the stage so that people will come up and say, wow, your kids are so great? See, that's a form of vainglory. And so we can check ourselves. And so we begin to say, okay, maybe you're recognizing some of these things in yourself. So what's the cure? Is there any cure? Is there any solution for that? Is there anything you can do to deal with vainglory? No, there's not. There's nothing you can do. God is the one who brings the change and healing. Now, there are things we can do. There are things we can do to open ourselves up to the work of God in our life. But it is ultimately God's work in our life that removes and roots out these things. So what are three things we can do to begin to root out? If you sense vainglory in your life, if you're thinking, I'm constantly pursuing the applause, either by exaggerating the things I do well or trying to cover up the things I do poorly. If I'm looking for the applause, if I'm constantly doing for the sake of affirmation, if I'm more concerned with the affirmation than doing things well, and if I'm taking credit with those, I'm dealing with it. So what can I do? One is the practice of silence. Silence not only of your own speaking, but of hearing other voices. One of the best ways even is it's just that stop speaking, because if I stop speaking, I'm no longer calling attention to myself. And so the practice of silence is this hard thing because it may be just simply sitting there in a conversation, and maybe you tell somebody about something, and then they don't notice and they don't say anything. You just practice the silence and say, I'm going to let that go. You know, we're not pushing our way into other conversations. We're not seeking others' approval. So there's silence. There's also solitude. Being by yourself. Because when you're by yourself, there's no audience, is there? There's no way. And then you begin to, and what silence and solitude begin to do is what spiritual writers talk about, is the thing about silence and solitude, when we practice external silence, what starts to happen is we start to notice all the noise inside of our heads. All the noise inside of us, and silence and solitude begin to help us see, am I craving these things? So we go and we be by ourselves, because then we've taken away the audience, and the only audience we have is God, and we begin to recognize, where is this? Now, do silence and solitude in and of themselves, do they take away the vainglory? No. But what they do is they're a way to open ourselves up to God's Spirit working in us. The last one is what I would call doing acts of secret service. In other words, doing good things for other people and making sure no one knows about it. Because then you're not doing it for the applause. You're going and you're doing. Now, is it always possible to do the things without people noticing? No. But what you can do is you can do it and try not to draw attention to it. When you do things, let the actions speak for themselves. And so we can practice silence, we can practice solitude, we can practice doing acts of secret service as a way to open us up so God can work inside of us and begin to root out and destroy that vainglory, destroy that pursuit of things, Because what Jesus is getting at here is when we pursue that, we're following a false story. When we follow a false story, we lead ourselves away from life. And so as we remove this disordered desire and we begin to receive our affirmation, our fundamental love, and knowing that we are loved and affirmed by God for who we are. Because what the Bible tells us is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say, once you got to be really good, once you started going to church, once you were reading your Bible on a daily basis, once you were giving 10% of your money, it doesn't say any of that. What it says is God loved us who we are. Now, somebody said, God loves us as who we are. Doesn't want us to stay there, but God loves us as who we are. And then we open up to Him and we begin to be changed and transformed. And so we begin to root this out, one of these capital vices, one of these things that can take over with inside of us, where we're seeking the applause instead of pointing to God, where we're failing to recognize the gifts we have as being from God. And so open yourself up to God's work. But if nothing else, know this, that you are deeply loved by God for who you are right now. That you don't need to go and do things to seek His applause, but you are deeply loved right now by the God of the universe.